the New Testament, the last book in your Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 15, as we stand to our feet, Revelation chapter number 15. As we read together the Word of God, this revelation as Christ is revealed, the Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." I want to preach tonight on this, a great and marvelous sign. A great and marvelous sign. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather around your word. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll help us as we look into it, that we'll be stirred up about what it has to say to us. We'll be strengthened by it, and we'll go forward for thee. I pray that you'll help me as I stand to preach. Lord, I recognize that I'm not even worthy to be standing here. Lord, I pray that somehow you'll use me tonight. Use me to preach the Word of God to these people, Lord, that we might hear from heaven. We might understand things to come just a little bit better. And Lord, that we'd be encouraged to go forward for thee. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. And I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit to anoint me. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've come to almost like a new start in the Scripture, if you will. It's a different portion of Scripture. We realize that we're finally moving forward. It's been a while since the chronological order has actually taken a step forward. We've seen all kinds of different things. But we're now moving to a point to where we're going to move forward, and we're seeing some events that are going to lead up to the revelation or to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Now, we realize he's coming in the rapture, but then there's a time he's going to come in Revelation. He's going to come in the clouds one day, but then he's coming back 7 years later to the earth. And we see some events that are going to be taking place just before the Lord Jesus returns, and we're getting ready to look at a few more of them in the coming weeks. But in chapter number 12 and 13, you'll remember, we saw the great as well as the dreadful characters of the great tribulation and different people. We saw the beast out of the sea, the beast out of the earth. We saw the woman being Israel. We saw Christ, the child. We saw a lot of different things and a lot of different characters. And then in chapter number 14, we had a parenthetical view of certain events that were going to be that are still to come. But now we're ready to go forward. Now we're ready to see some things happen. And just as we saw the seven seals, if you'll remember way back then, the seven seals, the seventh seal contained the seven trumpets. You remember that? We talked about that. And now the seventh trumpet contains the seven vials. So you realize when the seventh seal was opened up, it brought forth the trumpet judgments. When the seventh trumpet took place, was blown, it brought forth the seven vials that we're getting ready to read. Or some people call them the bowl judgments, and some people call them these vial judgments, talking about vials. And what we read here in what we've read in chapter 11, verse 15 through 19, is coming to fruition. We're getting ready to see these things happen. It's talking about the seventh trumpet blowing, and this is just taking it a little bit further as we see this. We're moving forward now, and we see the preparation of these seven vials. We see the events that are getting ready to happen for these vials to be poured out upon the earth. Now, these vials are going to be poured out, we believe, very rapidly, something that's going to take place. In other words, for instance, the first vial will be poured out, and then the next vial, and then the next vial, and the next vial. It's not going to be something like that happens, and then it's going to be a while before the second vial. We believe from all indications of the Scripture that the things that are getting ready to happen are going to happen very quickly. And this is right before the Lord Jesus returns. This is a time when these things take place, Christ will then come back. Christ will then return. And these things are going to happen very quickly, and we see these things. And in view of all these things, I want us to look and see, in view of these seven vials, I want us to look and see what John saw and what John heard here in chapter number 15. First of all, I want you to see the sign. The sign. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So John says, I saw another sign. This is a different sign than ones that he's seen before. And he said, I saw another sign, and the sign is great and marvelous. And we find those two words used together here and in verse number 3. It's the only two times in the Bible great and marvelous are used together. But we see a wonderful sign that's given here, just a truthful thing that we need to see. Seven angels, the Bible says, with the seven last plagues. That's something interesting, isn't it? This is it. This is that final judgment. This is the final blow before the Lord Jesus returns. The Bible says they have with them the seven last plagues. And the Bible says these plagues are filled up with the wrath of God. Not half full, not almost full, but they're filled up with the wrath of God. These are it. This is that final blow. This is the full wrath of God, the complete wrath of God. The final judgments before the Lord Jesus returns to the earth is what we're talking about here. So we see the signs. Now I want you to see, secondly, the saints. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass, mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. As John was beholding this great and marvelous sign, as he was looking and he saw seven angels having seven last plagues filled with the wrath of God, the Bible says as he was beholding this great and marvelous sign, he sees, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Chapter number 4, verse number 6, we see also a sea of glass, and that sea of glass said it was likened unto crystal. If you've heard that before, a sea of glass likened unto crystal. The sea of glass seems to reflect to us the glory of God. And in chapter number 4, we would understand that we would see the glory of God in His holiness. But here, as we see this sea of glass mingled with fire, I believe it would represent that we're seeing the glory of God in His judgment. And by the way, God's judgment, as terrible as they are always glorious, because He's always right. So here in chapter 15, we see the glory of God. His righteous judgment is indicated by this being mingled with fire. And they're standing on this sea of glass. John sees, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And standing on this sea of glass in chapter 15 are the very saints of God. Now, don't get confused. This is not the saints of all the ages. This is not the church. It's not the Old Testament saints. These are those tribulation saints that we've been talking about. Them that the Bible says that have gotten the victory. Notice what the Bible says. They have gotten the victory over the beast. That's an encouraging thing. It ought to encourage us. It ought to move us to realize that if they could stay true to the Lord through all the things that they were facing, we ought to be able to stay true to the Lord today. If they could stay true to God with all the pressures of Satan and the false prophet and of the beast, and with all the things they had to do and all the things that they had to refuse and had to learn to trust the Lord. Now you think about it. They just had to trust God through it all. And dear friends, if they could stay true to God, now we have the church to help us out, right? And the Holy Spirit works in the church. And the Holy Spirit's not going to be doing the same work during this time as He's doing right now. It's a whole different scenario now. The church is called out of here, and the Holy Spirit is now working through the church. We're in the age of grace. This is not the age of grace. This is the age of judgment, if you will. So when all these judgments are happening, and people are saying, how could a righteous and a loving God do such things? It's because He said that He was a righteous God, and He would judge sin. And everybody that has refused His free gift of salvation are going to have to face the consequences. So when we see all these things that are taking place here in chapter 15, don't look and question God. Realize that God is true to His Word. And what God has said from the very beginning is coming true. And we're seeing these things happen. And the Bible teaches us that these are not the saints of all the ages, because it is those that have gotten the victory over the beast. And it says also got the victory over His image. You remember that image that seemingly came to life? Now, how hard would it be to refuse something like that when you see possibly a wooden statue or a concrete statue and it comes to life? You say, that's fairy tale. That's fiction. No, that's what the Bible teaches us. And it says, over His mark and the number of His name. Now, how difficult would that be? Most of us, and I know I've said this several times, most of us can't go a day without eating. Some of us, not an hour. Some of us can last a few minutes. We think we're going to die if we don't get something, right? To eat, to drink. Can you imagine that if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade? So how are you going to make it? Well, these people have just got to learn to, by faith, trust the Lord. That's their only hope. That's their only chance. And these that we see standing on this, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, are the saints that have endured, the saints that have overcome the beast, the saints that have refused His image, refused His mark, refused His number. That's the saints that we're talking about. We see these saints, these triumphant saints that have remained faithful. They didn't yield to the extreme pressure of Satan. You know, we're living in an extreme society, aren't we? Well, our extreme is nothing compared to what this is going to be. You know, they've got extreme X Games and all that now, and we have an extreme generation of young people, and, you know, it's always daring, it's how far can you go? How high can you send that motorcycle up in the air? How many flips can you do on that skateboard? And I mean, it's extreme, isn't it? And we think, well, that's crazy. That's radical. You've not seen extreme. And thank God we won't see it if we're saved. But this is going to be extreme pressure. And some scholars believe that this sea of glass here is a type of the Word of God. And that the saints are standing on the promises of the Word of God. And as they stand, they have, the Bible says, with them, they have the harps of God. I want you to think about that. It could be the Word of God. I just believe it's a sea of glass mingled with fire. It's as it were. I know there's some kind of type in there and don't really understand all of that. I believe it's representing the true judgment of God. But if it is representative of the Word of God, which many times water does represent the Word of God, then certainly I could see that these are the saints that are standing on the promises of God. God said, if you'll stay true to Me, I will stay true to you. And I'm glad of that. So we see tonight, as we've looked and we've seen the sign and as we've seen the saints. Now I want you to see the songs. The Bible says in verse number 3 and 4, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. So John is looking on. He sees a sign, great and marvelous, seven angels with the seven last plagues, full of the wrath of God. And he sees, as it were, the saints of God, these tribulation saints that have overcome the beast, standing on a sea mingled with glass, having their harps. And as they have their harps, they're singing a song. And I believe it's two songs. It's the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. They're two different songs. And we see a beautiful picture in this and get a great understanding of this. One song reminds us of the deliverance from the world when God delivered Moses and the children of Israel from Egypt, and the other, the deliverance to glory. One song of how He brought us out, and the other of how He's going to bring us in. One song was the song that somebody said the song of Moses was the very first song of Scripture, and the song of the Lamb will be the very last song of the Scripture. The first song was sung by the Red Sea. This last song is going to be sung up on a glass sea, a clear sea. These saints say a whole lot in their music. They sing the song of Moses and they sing the song of the Lamb. And as they sing, they're saying this about God. I want you to understand there's something to be said about that. Every song we sing ought to say something about what we believe. And about, as if you're singing in church, there ought to be something said about who God is and what you think of God. That's why music's so important. The right kind of music has to be doctrinally right. So just exactly what do these saints say by the songs that they sing? What are they speaking of? Well, first of all, they're speaking of God's works. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. It says they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty." So they're saying that Lord God Almighty is great and marvelous in His works. I think it's interesting that they use the term Lord God Almighty here, because that's talking about God and His power and His power to create. This is talking about the Creator God, the Master God, the Ruler of the Universe God. And they're saying by the song they sing, "Thou art the God that created the heaven and the earth. Thou art the God that's in control of all of this. Great and mighty are Thy works." Not only do they speak of God's works, I want you to see that they speak of God's ways. Notice what the Bible says. It says they sing a song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Just and true. In other words, His justice is always right and His truthfulness is always right. And it says King of saints. It's talking about God that came to us, Emmanuel. And He brought justice and truth to this world because He fulfilled the justice on my account. If I got what I deserve tonight, justice for me would be hell. But the Lord Jesus took my place. And now I'm justified. We say a lot of times, and preachers have always said, we're justified. Justified, never sinned. But I heard a better terminology, and I believe it's more accurate. It's not justified, never sinned. It's just as if I were never a sinner. That's how God sees us. We've been made clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is just, and He is true. And when it comes down to the end, and not only in the end, but this day that we're living in, He will be just and He will be true. But when they're looking at this judgment, when John is seeing these things, he's hearing what these saints are saying and the song that they're singing, the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, and they're speaking of God's works and they're speaking of God's ways, and thirdly, they're speaking of God's wonder. It says, "Who shall fear thee and glorify thy name?" The Bible says in verse number 4, "Who shall fear thee and glorify thy name?" And it says, "Who shall fear thee, O Lord?" He uses another name. It says, "Lord God Almighty, King of the saints." And then it says, "O Lord." And in that, it's talking about the one that has supreme authority. Who, the Bible says, shall fear thee and glorify thy name? That's his wonder tonight. We're going to find out who in just a moment. Not only the saints, but the Bible says all nations, doesn't it? We see not only God's works and God's ways and God's wonder. I want you to see, fourthly tonight, God's worship. The Bible says, for all nations, in verse number 4, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. All nations. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 9 says, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. There's going to be a day, dear friends, when every knee is going to bow. There's going to be a time when everybody's going to realize that He is who He is. And this is people are coming to worship Him because of His vengeance. But then we see people still don't learn a lesson. Because we're going to see in the next chapter that they repented not. They did not change their mind about who God was and about their sinfulness. We'll see all about that. They refused to worship Him as Lord. They refused to accept Him as Savior. Not only do we see God's works and God's ways and God's wonder and God's worship, we see God's wisdom. Notice what the Bible says, verse number 4, the very last part. For thy judgments are made manifest. The true and the righteous judgment of God will prove that He's the all-wise God. In His wisdom, His judgments will proceed. And there'll be no arguing. And there'll be nobody that can say, well, that's just not right, God. Because God is wise enough to know exactly what He's doing and exactly what He's saying. May the Lord help us. So we see tonight the signs, the saints, we hear the songs. But then finally I want you to see the seven angels. The Bible says in verse number 5, and after that I looked, and behold, after all the things, after all the singing, the worshiping of God, He says, I looked, and this is what I saw. Behold, look at what I'm seeing. The temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. And we're reminded here of the Holy of Holies, that place in the Old Testament where God dwelled and met with His people as they were wandering in the wilderness. And now we see His dwelling place in heaven opened up, and the Bible says, out of it proceeds seven angels. I want you to notice, first of all, where they came from. They came from this temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. They came from where God was. They came from the very presence of God. So in other words, when they come, they're coming with His authority to carry out His will to fulfill the promise of His word. And be assured, when these seven vials are poured out upon the earth, they're done with all the authority of God. He's proven Himself to be true. Not only do we need to notice where they came from, I want you to notice what they had. The Bible says they have the seven plagues. We're going to learn more about those plagues in chapter number 16. Then notice their garment. The Bible says in verse number 6, they came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. That pure and white linen, that represents righteousness in the action that they're taking. Pure and white, it's always talking about holiness and righteousness. It says they're girded with golden girdles. And the girdle was worn when people were working or running, especially if they were going to carry out a mission or they were going to meet someone. They'd have a girdle, and with their robes on, they would take that robe and they would pull it up, and they would pull that robe through that girdle so that they could run without tripping, without falling. And they were on a mission from God. And they were pure and righteous in their actions. And the Bible says that they had golden girdles on. In other words, they were prepared to do the work that God wanted them to do. And gold in the Bible always seems to reflect the glory of God. And so they were coming and they were going to do the work of God. And they were going to show His glory and His judgment. And we think about that. We think what an amazing thing that is. Notice what they received. The Bible says in verse number 7, one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. So we see that as they're coming out of the temple, they have, the Bible says, these plagues. And then the Bible says they have these, one of these beasts gives them these vials full of the wrath of God. Now, I'm not exactly sure what all that means. They have the plagues and they have this full of the wrath of God. Some people seem to think that this was just the consummation of it all, that this was saying, all right, it's time to go and take these vials and pour it out upon the earth. I'm really not sure exactly how they had the plagues and then they get these seven vials, but I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that this beast comes, says one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. So they receive these golden vials full of the wrath of God. That full of wrath, there it is. It's full judgment. It's the full judgment of God. It's getting ready to be poured out on the earth. And these vials are not half full. I'm telling you, this is going to be it. This is that final and terrible blow before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to get not a little bit of the wrath of God, not most of the wrath of God, but they're going to get a full load of the wrath of Almighty God. You say, I can't believe that we are seeing something like this. They've had every opportunity in the world. God has put everything in their way to keep them from going to hell. Put everything in your way. Why are you here tonight? Well, my grandmother prayed for me. Thank God, that's prayers of a grandmother. Preacher preached to you. That was a preacher that gave you the truth. Somebody passed me a gospel tract. So what about people that's not ever had the gospel? Well, God gave them enough in their conscience and in creation to prove to them that there is a God. And they've rejected against the light. Everybody was born with the knowledge and a desire to know God. And as we reject and refuse that light and we push it away and away and away, then there'll be a day that God could give us over to a reprobate mind and we'll never have the opportunity. You say, when is that time? I don't know. That's why it's my responsibility to continue witnessing to everybody. Amen. I'm not the one that determines when somebody can or cannot be saved. But here we think about this. I'd hate to live in America and die and go to hell. I'd hate to think about everything you had to trample over to get to that place. Wouldn't you? With all the churches in America, with all the prayers that's gone up in America, with all the people that have given out gospel tracts, but we've said no to the Lord. There's going to be people here in this world. You know, if the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, this is what I believe. I know everybody that don't agree with this, but if the Lord Jesus were to return, I believe all the church would be called out of here. I believe that. I have no problem believing that. Then there's going to be 7 years in this world, 3.5 years of somewhat peace, 3.5 years of great and terrible tribulation. It's going to be awful. The end of that 7 years is going to be the Battle of Armageddon. We talked about that last week. It's going to be quite a battle. All these things are going to happen. But this is before that takes place. Right before the Battle of Armageddon, these vials are going to be poured out upon the earth. You say, how bad are they? Read it, chapter 16. It tells you all about it. We'll be looking at it. All these things are going to happen. Tonight, what you need to do is you need to know for sure that heaven's going to be your home. That you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you have peace in your heart and peace in your soul about that. That you put your faith in Him. Because the one that liveth forever and ever, according to verse number 7, the psalmist says, from everlasting to everlasting, He's going to be sending these angels to pour out His full wrath
earth.
And the Bible says in the temple, verse number 8, was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from His power. No man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Think about that. No one was permitted to go into the temple. All these plagues were fulfilled. The smoke from the power and the glory of God, the Bible says, fills the temple, reminding everyone of the holiness of God. Here's a time when nobody can go in to this holy of holies, if you will. That's how serious this is. The Bible says His holiness fills this place, the smoke from His power, from His glory. And I believe as we look at this, we're reminded, we are to be reminded of the holiness of God. And in that day, I believe those that are in heaven are going to be reminded of the holiness of God. And those that are here on the earth that are saved, that the tribulation saints are going to be reminded of the holiness of God. And by the way, I believe all those that are lost, all those that have refused Christ are going to be reminded of the holiness of God. So what's the message for us? I think we need to be reminded of the holiness of God now. I think we ought to realize the holiness of God now. I'm watching as churches have lost the understanding of His holiness and of His righteousness. And by the way, our view of God will determine how we live our lives. What we think about God will determine what we do every day. Things we say, things we see, things we hear, the way we react. We need to be reminded of the holiness of God. But there's going to be a day when all the world's going to see His holiness, be reminded of it. I wish I understood all this stuff. I wish I could give you a better understanding of it all. I read and read. Try to grasp it. Try to read it in different languages. Try to read different scholars that I believe could be trusted. Try to get an understanding. But all I know is that I believe what the Bible says. Whether I understand it all or not, I believe it. You say, how can you do that? Isn't that just blind faith? It sure is. I wasn't there when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, but I have no problem believing that He did die. I have no problem believing that He was buried, and I absolutely have no problem saying that He rose again. That's how I believe I'm going to heaven, because I put my faith in what Jesus Christ did. Why did He die on the cross? He died for my sins. He nailed my sins to His cross. And I put my faith in Him. Put my faith in that. By faith, I've trusted Christ. By faith, I'm on my way to heaven. By faith. I come to Revelation. I look at it. I read it. Sometimes I sit back and I scratch my head and I say, I'm not sure what that means. But Lord, I'm just going to take it at face value. I'm going to believe it. I figure if you really want me to know what it means, I'm going to do my best to find out. You'll reveal it to me. And if it's one of those things, and by the way, this Bible is full of mysteries that we'll not understand until we see Him face to face. And some of the things that we're so concerned with, I don't think we'll really care about then. But when we see Him, it'll all be answered, won't it? So what about now? Do you know you're saved? You have peace in your heart that heaven's going to be your home? I hope you do. What are you doing to help others to know Jesus as Savior? Have you passed out a gospel tract this week? Have you spoken to somebody about their need of Christ as Savior? Have you spoken to anybody, at least invite them to church and hand them a tract? Have you done anything like that? Have you talked to your neighbor? Have you let them know that the Lord loves them? You say, boy, that's not easy to do. You're right, it sure isn't easy to do. But wouldn't you hate to be the one that gets accused of not telling them one day when it's too late for them? You said, but they might say something mean or ugly. That's where we come to the point, if we're dead to self, it won't bother us. See, our problem is not people refusing Christ. Our problem is people refusing us. It hurts our feelings. It does mine. I'm not going to stand up here and just tell you it doesn't. It has mine before. And I've asked the Lord so much, especially this last few years. Just help me to die to that. I have one life. I'm 41 years old. You can't hardly believe that, can you? It's hard to believe. I look so young. I'm 41 years old. And I've done so little for Him. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me. Let's see the seriousness of this. We're getting down to the point to where we're getting ready to see the worst judgments the world has ever known. 5.4 yesterday, right? Earthquake. 5.4. Just so you can get a preview. The Bible says, if I can find it here, the Bible says that there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. That's what's going to happen. That's the seventh vial. You know what he said right before that? It is done. It's going to be some time, isn't it? Do you see the seriousness of all this? Lord, help us. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Help us to respond in obedience to you. Help us to do with what life we have left.